This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a new edition of the Cards Cast. Louisville football bouncing back against Eastern Kentucky, as they should. 30-3 win on Saturday night. Now another short week for the Cardinals, bringing in which will be a much more challenging opponent in UCF, which sits just outside the AP Top 25. We're going to talk about it here in this Cards Cast. I am Cardinal Authority senior writer Michael McCammon, joined by publisher Jody Demlin. And yeah, Jody, I mean, this is a UCF is coming into Cardinal Stadium for a Friday night game, ESPN. You know, it's all the lights, all the pageantry, hopefully the better fan experience with the nation's number two offense. So, and it's going to be similar to Ole Miss. I mean, they like to move pretty quickly. So the Cardinals certainly a much bigger challenge this Friday night.
Oh, yeah, no question. I think it's one of those, Michael, where you look at this game this week. Look, nothing's changed, in my opinion, from where we started when we did this, when we did a Cards Cast, you know, 3 weeks ago. I said, we're going to know everything we need to know the first 12 days of the season. Now, I did warn you, everyone listening, if it's really good the first 2 weeks, don't pay attention to it. If it's really bad the first 2 weeks, don't pay attention to it. If it's in the middle the first 2 weeks, don't pay attention to it. It's not going to be until after week three, which is Friday night, that I think that you can kind of react one way or the other. I know everybody's upset. Everybody's pissed off about the offense the first week and not blowing out, EKU. Look, Paul Rogers has been doing this a long time, and he told me something when we were walking out of Scott Satterfield's office on Friday of last week, after we did our pregame thing. And then he said it on the air Saturday night for anybody that was listening, but it's true. In a game like EKU, you can't win it. It's a no win situation. You can't win it by enough. And if you win it by enough, then people are still going to say, well, it was EKU. So I don't even really judge that one. You didn't lose to them like some teams lost to an FCS school last week. You didn't lose the game. You won the game. It should have been 37-3. Made mistakes, and hopefully they get better off of it. So day 12 is coming up, Michael. And then I think you can kind of – then I think people can go one way or the other and kind of see what this season's really going to be. This is a challenge for this team on Friday night.
Yeah, without question. I think coming into the season, I think Gus Malzahn's team was kind of a question mark with a lot of people, and those question marks really seemed to be growing in that first half of their first game against Boise State. But in that second half, and since then, the Knights have looked like really a top 25 team. I mean, they just basically just dominated the Broncos in the second half of that game, and then obviously just dismantled Bethune-Cookman last weekend. And you know, and that's one of those games, like you were just talking about with Louisville-EKU. It's one of those, I don't know how much you really want to take away from it. So it's still a small sample size, but certainly we've been talking about for a while, this Louisville-UCF game really is a barometer of where this Louisville football team is. I'm starting to feel good about the defense, but again, you don't want to put too much stock into EKU. How much did they learn from that Ole Miss loss? Because you're going to see some similar things in as far as tempo in this game against the Knights. And offensively, I think Louisville still got a number of question marks, and I think they're question marks that they can answer. I think they've just got to find ways to improve that quarterback wide receiver connection. But certainly, this is a stiff challenge for Scott Satterfield's team. I think if they come away with the win, that's a huge gain for the Louisville football program, and probably would make a lot of people exhale after what has been a disappointing first two games of this season.
Yeah, it was disappointing. It's been disappointing. And for me, more than anything, I think the disappointment comes just because I just don't – like last week, I didn't sense the urgency is what I kind of worry about more than anything. There wasn't that urgency for the guys to be out there and getting pumped up and all that kind of good stuff. I think this is a good football team. I really don't know, Michael. I'm confused if I feel worse than I did 3 weeks ago, or if this is, you know, I mean, yeah. I predicted 1-1. I predicted them to lose the Ole Miss game by 4 or 6 points or whatever. They didn't look great in that game in the first half, looked better. And I don't know. I mean, it's disappointing to me because I don't feel the intensity that I thought I would. And some players haven't played up to what I thought. Yeah. I think they should. And I'll tell you, people were talking about Yaya Diaby on defense, which is true. And Brian Brown and everybody else has said, you know, he's got to step it up. And the offensive line has got to step it up. But I'll tell you who I want to see step up. He's got the fourth most touches, or the fourth most snaps on offense, and that's Marshawn Ford. I was expecting a lot more out of Marshawn Ford this season. He's the one in my mind that has to take his game to another level.
Yeah, on that point, I was kind of expecting him to kind of be one of those leading, you know, I know he's a tight end H-back, but actually being one of those leading receivers that Louisville is continuing to look for and maybe starting to uncover. I think we're going to learn a lot more about, you know, who may emerge in that wide receiver room following this UCF game. But for me, while my confidence meter didn't really move for this EKU game, Ole Miss, as we're going to see throughout the season, though, that tempo, especially open with them, you know, yes, you wanted to see the defense play much better than they did, but it's kind of a unique setting against one of the best offenses in the country. So you knew they were going to, you know, have their struggles with that. But I didn't lose complete faith in Brian Brown's defense, you know, and you don't want to, again, obviously put too much stock in what we saw in EKU, which I thought was a great performance overall by the defense. But what I wanted to see and what upset me or worries me is probably the better word is against EKU, the offense never really had a moment where, okay, we're dominating this thing. We can take the ball and we can march down. We're determined we're going to score 7, which a program of Louisville stature in the Power 5 should be able to do against EKU. You just never saw that. You know, I called it energy. Or you can describe it any way any word you want to throw out there. But it just never felt like they had the pure confidence in themselves that, okay, we just took the ball at the 25-yard line. We're going to go down, do whatever we want to do against this team and score 7 points. And that just didn't happen to me. And that, to me, that's the biggest concern going into the game 3 is I still haven't seen, you know, an offense that can be consistent, you know, for 4 quarters.
It is true. I'm watching the volleyball game. Sorry, I got distracted there. Okay. Louisville just won the second set after losing the first set. So always nice to try to get them to beat Kentucky. But I think, Michael, that, yeah, that's my thing is I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for like ways to describe it. I just have this feeling like they haven't played nearly as to their potential in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I hope that I'm right. And that this week we see something extraordinary and they play really well. It's going to be, it's going to take a really good game.
It is, you know, we heard, you know, Caleb Chandler, the offensive lineman, you know, 3-year starter. You know, he basically said that yesterday when we talked to him, you know, the media after their practice yesterday is, basically saying, look, we know we're not playing to our own expectations, not what the outside world's thinking, what they think themselves. And they should think very highly of themselves. Obviously, a ton of experience coming back from last year, but they haven't, you know, measured up, you know, to their own admittance there. And you could, you know, point your finger at almost any position group on the field. You felt at each one of those spots, Louisville was, you know, for maybe a wide receiver, but in most of those spots, taking a step forward because of experience and added depth, and you've seen flashes of individual, you know, moments, but you just haven't seen it, you know, come together, especially offensively, which again goes back to what I was just saying. It is my biggest concern coming in. Again, I think I think they've got tools to where they could put something together. So, you know, like I said earlier, I think they've got questions that they can't answer. Will they get answered? That's, you know, hopefully we'll find out in a positive way on Friday night.
I will say this, let's talk about a couple positives. You know, let's do it. You know, people talk about the offensive line, and when you look at how the guys have graded out and how that that they kind of rank in order as far as the first couple of weeks, you know, two of the top three guys and four of the top six are guys that have over 20 snaps, and is what I'm comparing, are guys that are on the offensive line. Josh Johnson has graded out the best. We'll talk about him in a minute. Brian Hudson, Caleb Chandler are 2 and 3. Those guys have to be on the field, in my opinion. I know they like to rotate, and I know guys need rest, but those guys need to be on the field. Those are the two guys that have graded out the best. Malik Cunningham is 4th, and Jalen Mitchell, and then Renato Brown. I think Renato's kind of in that mode to me with those other guys. And I think when you've got Brian, Caleb, and Renato on one side of the line, you're doing well. You know, as well as Michael Gonzalez played in the first week, was as bad as he played in the second week. But you know, he's a freshman. It's going to be like that. That's just the way it is. But I think if those guys, if Hudson and Chandler can continue to do what they've been doing, if they can continue to do to get things going as far as out there on the line, I did like what Luke Kandra did in the series that he got last week. He was pretty good. It was in kind of mop-up time, so I don't know that we'll specifically see him a lot, but I did like what he did. So I'm hoping that the offensive line can kind of get things going this week.
Yeah, I am too. And you're going to need to see that from obviously you know, the receivers, the running backs, just about all the different spots across the field. You need the defense to continue that trend that we saw against Eastern Kentucky. You know, and like, you know, just like Ole Miss, I mean, Central Florida, you know, they move at a quick pace. You know, expect them to score some points. Like I said, I mean, it's a small sample size, and one of those opponents was Bethune-Cookman. But right now they're averaging, what, I think it's 622 yards per game. That in itself gives you enough example just through two weeks that this is an offense that can move the ball. So expect them to score some points, but the defense needs to, you know, make them punt a few times, come up with a turnover or two. And then, you know, the offense, you know, has got to wake up. It's, you know, it's got to find that rhythm where they can become a consistent, you know, threat every time they touch the ball.
Yeah. What I really want to see this week is, I want to see the defense get some picks, get some turnovers. That would be great. And if that happens, it really takes things off as far as it gets things going as far as the offense being able to relax a little bit. So that's what I'm kind of excited, you know, to see. And Josh Johnson is another thing I want to talk about. I think they've got to find a way to get him more involved. He's been targeted 8 times. He has 8 catches on the season. I think he has to be that guy. It's just I'm not a coach, but I see that he's the best route runner, or at least I think he's the best route runner on the team. And when you have that, it's just one of those deals. You just got to find a way to get him the ball. And I think he'll be more in the game plan this week.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously, you know, showing great hands, the ability to catch the ball when you put it near him. You know, and it's a great story. I mean, you know, he's gone through a lot injury-wise, you know, so you love to see him have this opportunity. And thus far, when he's been targeted, you know, he's come through. So I'm with you there. I think he's one of those guys that should be emerging out of that wide receiver room as one of the go-to guys.
All right, so we've got schedule coming out, women's schedule out tonight. I don't want to say it's easy because it's not easy because it's tough, but Louisville's teams, they play twice: Boston College, Syracuse, which lost almost every player and a coach off of their team from last year, Pittsburgh and Notre Dame. So maybe not as difficult as it has been in the past. We'll have to wait and see who kind of comes out for in the ACC and really, you know, looks like they are going to be the team to beat this year, other than Louisville and Florida State. Is Notre Dame going to make that trip back up to the top of the ladder this soon or not? But the only They've got two road trips where they go back-to-back games in the ACC at Boston College and at NC State in mid-January and at Clemson and at Syracuse in early February. So, Michael, I'm not – it's been so terrible. Their schedule's been so hard, and they've been up against it for a number of years now. I hate to say this doesn't look hard, but it doesn't look like this is it looks doable. Let me just say that it looks doable for them, and it looks pretty good. We'll get the men's schedule tomorrow night. We've told you the non-conference. We're pretty certain on all of those, and we'll get the men's schedule tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll have it on the boards. And recruiting this weekend, I don't expect a ton from football because it's a Friday night game, and everybody in the state seems like they're playing this week on Friday night because you know, normally there's some off weeks and such, but it doesn't look like there's many this week. So I don't expect a ton, but I do expect a bunch of those basketball guys for Louisville Live will get in on Friday. So I think they'll be at the game and then on Louisville Live. It's going to be jam packed. Rodney Rice and Tay Davis, the two 2022 guys. Caleb Glenn, Jared McCain, and Dusty Stromer are the guys there as well for Louisville. And then unofficials, I think it's going to be – I know it's going to be Damon King. I know it's going to be Aiden Evans. And then other than that, I think it's going to be Makai Johnson, Tyler McKinley, who I love, kid out of Ohio, 2024 kid out of Ohio, and Laurent Rice. Maybe Ravon Griffith, that's still kind of up in the air. He's a top 30 player in the 2024 class. So loaded. It's going to be fun. Horses and hoops, two of my favorite things in life. If you horses and hoops together on a Saturday night, you can't get any better than that, right?
I mean, how can you beat? I mean, Churchill Downs at night's already one of the coolest things to do in this community. And now you throw Louisville Live, you know, at the legendary track. I mean, that's tough to beat. I mean, that's, you know, and I'm expecting, hopefully the weather cooperates, because I would think it's going to be a really fun, you know, kind of, you know, excited crowd, because, you know, it is night, the lights are on, and, you know, and we're talking some basketball. You know, great news, Montrezl Harrell is coming, so you can, you know, celebrate his return and his appearance as well. You know, so, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fantastic evening, and as you were listing off, you know, some of the visitors that are going to be here, you know, it's something that we've talked about on the message boards and fans are getting excited about. But the talent that's coming up locally,
I forgot to mention Caleb Glenn, by the way. Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't. I mentioned him. Okay.
Starting with Caleb Glenn, but then, you know, you talked to Monty King and Aiden Evans. I mean, the list goes on. You know, Sisk over at Ballard. I mean, there's some talent in this area that, you know, good reason to get excited about it. I think if you're a Louisville fan, you know, obviously we've detailed what Chris Mack has been doing with Caleb Glenn, going over to those really early meeting or workouts over at Mill High School and the relationship they're forming there. But, you know, I'm excited to see the talent that's coming up, you know, from Caleb Glenn and then the classes behind him as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. There's a lot of talent in the area right now in the basketball world, and hopefully that they can take advantage of that. It'd be nice to get Rodney Rice and Caleb Glenn sealed up in the next month or so if Caleb really does make a decision in October, because I think, you know, Rodney will have a decision sometime sooner rather than later. So if they could pop both those guys, woo-wee, it would be getting –
that'd be nice.
Be nice. Some good positive news. Yeah. Isn't that what we need?
News that much-needed news. I'll take anything. Congrats. And speaking of that, congrats to the volleyball, as you mentioned earlier. Off to a great season so far. So, but yeah,
don't jinx them. It's not over tonight though. So
I'm talking overall in general, great body of work this far, climbing up into the polls, but looking forward to eventually getting some great news, you know, coming this way. And certainly the fan base is in much need of it, and, you know, knock on wood, fingers crossed, you know, the fan experience Friday night will be much improved as well. So,
you know, yeah, we'll do a podcast this week.
Yep.
Friday, Michael, and it'll be more geared towards, obviously, the game on Friday night. We'll look ahead, but it'll be geared a lot towards Louisville Live as well. We'll have some details. I think I figured out who's going to be one of the MC type people. I'm checking and see. I think I figured it out though. Nobody will say, but I think I did.
Sounds exciting. I'm on the edge of my seat already, looking forward to it. So there's a nice plug. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this CardsCast. As he just mentioned, keep an eye out for CardsCast on Friday as well. Plenty of pregame coverage at Cardinal Authority. So keep clicking cardinalauthority.com. This has been the CardsCast.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.